You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Incredible story I saw earlier this afternoon and was reminded of it as I was scrolling through Facebook just now, and it's from Tech9's verified Facebook account.
Yes.
Have you guys heard about this? This is an incredible story. It's Tech9. There's two pictures, actually. One is Tech9 with Jelly Roll, who performed last night at the T-Mobile Center.
By the way, saw some clips of the show. It looked fantastic.
Jelly Roll is really good in concert. I've seen him once. And standing on the other side of Jelly Roll is, I believe, a young man named Trav, who is Tech9's friend.
Okay.
Then there's another picture of Tech9 standing next to a guy with just a black Carhartt sweatshirt on, blue jeans, and some tennis shoes.
Casual.
It's that picture I want to focus on because that's what Tech9 writes about in this post. He says, okay, I'm going to tell on myself. So last night, my partner Trav and I were walking backstage and a family of like six came up to me because the younger daughter wanted to meet me. So I shook her hand. I shook her mom's hand and a friend. Then the boyfriend's hand who was holding a baby. Then I shook the hand of the dad who seemed like he was in charge and all over them. And he was very appreciative of me showing his family love. After I walked away, Trav asked the guy to take a picture with me. And the dad guy said, of course, if he'll have me. I said, of course I will, man. After we took the pic, Trav said, Tech, will you take one of me and him? At this point, my brain said, oh, this must be someone that Trav recognizes,
right,
and I don't.
Clearly.
After I gave Trav his phone back and the family moved on, I said, who was that, Trav? He said, are you blanking kidding me? I said, no. He said, that's blanking Garth Brooks. And then he closes by saying, shaking my head, epic fail, Tech9. Turns out that Garth Brooks' daughter, Allie Colleen, was opening for
Musically talented as well.
Jelly Roll last night, and she opened for Jelly Roll, and that's why Garth Brooks was at the T-Mobile Center. Isn't that incredible? He didn't recognize Garth Brooks. Now, in fairness,
Wait, none of us are getting any younger.
Yeah.
Oh, that is 100% Garth.
Yeah, but you can still tell it's Garth Brooks. He's wearing a ball cap. This.
If he put a cowboy hat on, would he be more recognizable?
Yeah, he'd be more recognizable, yeah.
But Garth often has his G ball cap on when he performs.
Yeah, but
he?
If I saw a G, I would be like, Georgia?
What's hanging in the rafters at the T-Mobile Center?
The hat he's wearing tonight, or that night, last night, was...
What kind of hat is that? I'm trying to zoom in on it.
Looks like a B.
For Brooks?
It doesn't matter. Like, even if it said B, I wouldn't know.
But that is so funny that Garth Brooks was like, well, if he'll have me for a picture.
You can tell that is Garth Brooks.
It's 100% Garth Brooks.
No, I don't think you can. No, he's wearing a Carhartt sweatshirt. His face in that photo, for some reason, looks like...
Are you going to say swollen?
Wider, yes, a little bit. And I'm not saying that he's gained weight at all. That's not what I'm saying. It just... When I picture Garth Brooks, I'm probably, because I'm so old, thinking of like 1990s Garth Brooks and what he looked like on the cover of those albums.
Mm-hmm.
People sometimes in real life don't look exactly like you think they're going to look.
He has not been the...
Like that woman who met us one time and said, oh, I thought you'd be thinner.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sam, have you ever heard that story?
Many times.
Oh, my God. That was at a 54th Street Grill and Bar in Zona Rosa.
People go, why don't you do those anymore? Oh, there's Exhibit A.
I immediately walked away when that woman said that.
The best part was he just goes, oh, God.
Yeah, that's right. Because she came up to meet. This was at the end of one of our live broadcasts. And this she was really short. Asian woman comes up and shakes my hand, and Dana was still getting her stuff together behind the table, and I'm standing in front of the table. I'm going to tell this story again because it's so funny.
It is funny.
And she comes over and she shakes my hand, said, hey, I just wanted to come out and meet you guys, really enjoy the show. This was, what would you say, 10 years ago,
easily,
8 years ago?
Easily.
And I shake her hand and we talk for a second, and she goes, is that Dana? And I go, yeah. I said, you can say hi if you want. And she's very friendly, and she'd love to meet you. And this little lady goes over to the table, and she says, hi, are you Dana? And Dana looks up and goes, yes, hi. And the lady looks at her and goes, I thought you were thinner. And all you hear is me standing behind the lady, and I go, oh, God.
And then do you remember her boyfriend, bless his heart, he came over afterwards and was just very apologetic. And I don't understand this at all, and I don't think I agree with it. But he goes, I think it may be a cultural thing. And I was like, no. I don't think that's a cultural thing.
No, I don't think so.
Listen to this. Five suspects have been apprehended after authorities recovered more than $40,000 in stolen ATVs.
How much money?
$40,000.
Depending on the ATV, that could be two.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know what you guys do on those things.
A blast.
An early morning patrol by police in Warrensburg led to the recovery of more than $40,000 in stolen ATVs last week. The Warrensburg Police Department announced that five suspects have been apprehended in a burglary around 2:30 in the morning last Wednesday. Police said an officer spotted several of these ding-dongs loading the ATVs into a U-Haul at 2:30 in the morning. Seems completely legit.
Right, of course.
And reported the break-in. They waited for backup. A team of officers that included UCM public safety officers and Johnson County Sheriff's officers helped recover the $40,000 in the stolen ATVs, as well as a stolen U-Haul from Warrensburg Cycle. Yeah, these are the big hunting...
We're talking UTVs. I guarantee you that's
camouflaged.
Only two of them.
They've got netting around them.
Ride them in trails in the forest or the woods or whatever.
For hunting they make ones that are for racing too. But yeah,
do you know what else they make those for? Tipping over and dying, slowly being crushed to death.
Well, they have a cage. So you don't...
I just don't feel like children should be in those things ever. Because we're in the business of reading the headlines.
Have you ever ridden in one? They're fun.
Once. But it was the big squat four-wheel. Like, it didn't have anything on the top of it. And we did it.
No,
you
want to
talk about
that.
Dangerous. We did it in the jungle in Mexico.
Oh, I love ATVs, dirt bikes. I have rolled a UTV. It was not my proudest day.
Where?
In the country.
Oh, my God.
Where else,
Samuel,
do you roll a UTV?
You're not country. Stop doing things like that.
Uh-oh.
I'm just saying. It's very dangerous, and I feel like...
He's not going to like that.
You live in Overland Park. You drive a truck. Let's not go ATVing in, I'm just saying, as someone who likes to pretend to be your mother, it's not the safest thing. And if you do it, I would prefer you wear a helmet on blacktop surface.
I will stop. Wait, what? That's even more dangerous.
Like in a parking lot? Wearing a helmet?
Yeah, I would die. At least on the grass, I've got something soft to land on.
They're not street legal. How are you going to get it to a parking lot?
I don't know. I don't know, Scott. I don't know because I don't ride on them, because they're dangerous.
Well, Sam does because he's country.
I'm very confused on how that makes me country.
Where'd you ride it? In the country?
Where else do you ride them?
I don't know.
First I go, oh, God. And then if you listen, we have the door in the studio open because it's so warm in here. And then I hear Dan in the background go, oh, God. Were you born country? Because it's country that you love?
I will tell you this.
Country boy can survive.
That's right.
Out of everyone on this show, if we had to rank the level of country in any given one of us, Sam would likely come out with a higher percentage.
Somehow it still feels demeaning.
Rest of us.
It sure, it sounded demeaning.
I know. Isn't that weird?
If I were you, I would feel demeaned.
You know where I can't be demeaned?
In
on a UTV
country?
In the country.
All right, 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Here's somebody who used to be country and isn't country
That's
anymore.
That's right. She listened to Dana.
Yeah.
Who said, stop being country.
Stop being country. You're not country.
You know, Sam was country when country wasn't cool.
So it was Barbara Mandrell. There's a name you haven't heard.
Text line's not happy with her?
Indeed.
Just because you drive a truck does not make you country. I said this earlier today. I've watched A Few Good Men several times. It doesn't make me a lawyer.
Yeah, they're not happy with you.
Okay. You just played Love Story by Taylor Swift, and there's a reason for that.
I just want to know. I love that song. I just want to know, in your mind, what does it take for you to be country?
I think that we should veer off of this topic.
No, I want to know. What does it take? Scott, because we've had this conversation with actual country artists.
Wrangler jeans.
Versus the awful bro country artist that grew up in, like, I don't know, New York City. And
I think Wrangler jeans help.
Okay.
Cowboy boots.
If you have legitimately owned a pair of cowboy boots, not just a pair you bought one time to go to the American Royal.
Sam has cowboy boots.
I know he does.
Two pairs.
You check. Oh, you okay? That checks two boxes then.
A pickup truck doesn't hurt.
Does not hurt.
What if it has a lift? Is that another box?
Do you have the naked ladies on the back of it? The mud flaps?
No, but I could.
Some form of facial hair.
Like
Either a rip beard from Yellowstone or some stubble.
Oh my gosh, rip. Let me tell you what. Can you change a tire?
A denim jacket doesn't hurt.
Okay.
I can change a tire and own a denim jacket.
To me, it's more life skills, Scott, than it is what you're wearing.
If you chew tobacco.
Yeah.
Now that's like real long cut though, right?
It could be either.
Okay.
But if you do the snuff, you have to have a skull ring in your back pocket.
Okay. Okay.
Right back pocket, not left.
Well, of course.
Can I just tell you that I think chewing tobacco is disgusting? But in my youth, in my much younger...
Oh, please tell me you've done it.
No, God, no. Oh. There was something sort of alluring, like, in high school about that ring in the jeans. And I can't stand chewing tobacco.
Well, you were from North Topeka.
I know, right? I mean, it was like every single pair of jeans and not just male.
I went to high school with a girl who chewed tobacco.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, text line, I have ridden a horse multiple times.
See, I don't necessarily...
Actually, I've never hunted. That's a lie.
A large belt buckle.
Hunting is a big one.
A large belt buckle.
I have never had the pleasure of hunting.
But you would.
I would do it tomorrow, yeah.
Okay. Do you own a rifle?
No, not yet.
All right.
Do you want one?
Yes.
Okay. This is not for country kids. These are for kids in the city, but we have launched Coats for Kids 2024. If you can help. The need is great. It's great every single year. And we're trying to raise $60,000 this year for students in KCK, Kansas City, Missouri, Independence, Hickman Mills, and Center School Districts who, for whatever reason, don't have a coat to wear this winter. If you can and are willing to help, we would certainly love it. Just go to KMBZ.com. The donation site there is safe. It is secure. No problems with that. KMBZ.com or text KMBZ Coats, one word, KMBZ Coats to 44321. And a huge special thanks goes to Operation Warm and our sponsor, Pinnacle Bank. KMBZ.com.
Okay, so we played Love Story to start the segment.
Mm-hmm. I love her so much.
And there's a reason. We are 16 days away.
Oh my God, I can't
from
wait.
The first ever Hallmark movie featuring Independence, Missouri.
Yes.
Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes.
Chiefs Kingdom and Arrowhead Stadium, all wrapped into one beautiful package.
Okay. What's it called again?
It is called Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story.
Oh, my God.
You know it.
It's so bad.
You want to see it.
It's going to be popular.
And we have a trailer for you.
Fire when ready.
God loves me.
Ladies and gentlemen, please turn your attention to midfield.
From Hallmark and the NFL.
Derek Taylor, Kansas City Chiefs.
Holy cow!
We are finalists for the Fan of the Year Award.
Comes a love story that's a real Christmas game changer.
Oh yeah, I know you are.
You do?
Yeah, the lucky Christmas hat.
We only get to the Super Bowl if someone in our family wears the hat on Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Do you not believe me?
I just need to see some of that Christmas magic for myself.
Okay, that's pretty good. You didn't have a hat.
No, but we were talking about it.
On November 30th.
We can all see there's something between you and Derek. Why do you keep fighting it?
It's not like Derek is just hanging out with us for fun. He's doing his job.
Tis the season.
Let's go, Chiefs!
To let fate call the plays.
Trust me on this one.
Guys, we kind of need the field now.
Holiday
Coach
Touchdown,
Reed.
A Chiefs love story. Premieres Saturday, November 30th at 8.
Okay.
I'm going to go throw up in my mouth. I'll be right back.
That is about the cheesiest thing that you could ever
think up. It is. And people outside of this region, not so fun fact, already sort of don't like us.
Already, No.
They hate us.
By sort of don't like, you mean vehemently hate us.
You mean vehemently. Yes. And did you see Patrick Mahomes on...
But he pronounced that the way they pronounce it in the country.
One of
vehemently.
The...
vehemently.
Vehemently.
Did you see Patrick Mahomes on one of the podcasts yesterday said the last time he went into Buffalo, he saw 40,000 middle fingers. And remember this, as he was trying to give his headband to a child in the stands, people were hurling snowballs at him. And he goes, they really hate us.
Yes.
This.
It doesn't help.
Does not help.
No.
It does not help. I'm excited that there are local actors involved and, you know, that we're going to shine the spotlight on the city of Independence. And I heard Coach Reed in there and all of that's good. Okay. I don't think it helps the.
Can I be a bit of a critic just based on the trailer?
Sure.
No Hallmark movie is going to win an award.
There is a scene where they're out at a tailgate, as all Chiefs fans love to do.
Okay.
There is snow falling from the sky aggressively. It's a pretty strong snowstorm. Keep in mind, this was filmed in July.
Right.
There is not a speck of snow on the well-lit, sunny parking lot.
But don't you remember, Sam, Alex Gold went out, because he's an actor now. He was hired as an extra. And he went out, and the only thing he could tell us was you had to bundle up as if it was winter.
Sweating.
And they shot it in what, July?
Yeah, it was August? Like 100 degrees outside. Yeah.
Well, maybe it had just started snowing, Sam, critic.
I can't wait to watch it.
Do we need more feel-good stories and wholesome content and all of those things? I mean, I think, yes, it's probably better than watching the Dahmer documentary. But...
Ladies and gentlemen,
we're good.
Your attention to midfield.
Hallmark.
Now, I didn't hear in any of that trailer any form of conflict. You have to have conflict in a movie.
Well, so we went over the plot when the movie was first announced.
There's some Fan of the Year award that's being given out.
So the hat that they're talking about in the trailer goes missing.
No.
And then they start to question their love for whatever reason. How that relates to the hat, I don't know. It's a Hallmark movie. Don't try to make it make sense.
I love Andy Reid. He's an institution in this town. But if Hallmark Movie Channel called me, and I'm like arguably the greatest current coach in the NFL, and I get a phone call from Hallmark, or my agent gets a phone call from Hallmark, and they want me to appear in one of their sappy, stupid, romantic movies, I would decline the invitation.
No, the whole town got into this. I'm not going to poo. It's not for me. They have ranked, by the way, the 10 worst Hallmark Christmas movies of the decade. It was tough to come up with that list.
I was going to say, that's just the 10 worst Christmas movies of the decade, and they all happen to be Hallmark.
One of them is called Never Been Chrissed instead
of... What is that supposed to mean?
Kissed.
Oh.
Coming in at number 9, Holiday in Harlem. Followed by number 8, A Gingerbread Romance.
Who writes this stuff?
Followed by number 7, Every Christmas Has a Story, starring Lori Loughlin before her story involved wearing orange.
They all star her.
Followed by Christmas in Harmony in 2021, Santa Switch in 2013. Don't act like you don't know it.
Okay. Blockbusters.
The Most Colorful Time of the Year, Mr. Miracle, and the top 3 worst. Okay, number 2 is O Christmas Tree, where it does appear the young man and young woman are fighting over the live tree that each wanted to purchase.
That's the plot?
And the number 1 worst ranked holiday Hallmark Christmas movie is A Cheerful Christmas.
I don't hear any conflict in that title either. 913-586-7798.
Well, Scott, one member of the family hates Christmas, and Lauren in that episode did everything she could to change his mind.
Sam Stevie the Third, country boy over there. Dana Wright, my name is...
I'm not country.
Yes, you are, and it's okay. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. That's right, Sam. Raise that flag and fly it with pride. A story that just cleared on Channel 9's website, a third-party research firm is stepping in to help the Kansas City Chiefs gather community feedback on a potential stadium move. The Chiefs announcing today that they will use CSL International, which specializes in sports and entertainment venues, for help in their looming stadium decision. CSL will begin to seek out focus groups and survey participants in the coming weeks to learn more about what's important to Chiefs fans in a stadium. This comes after months of discussion about the future and what it holds for the organization and its home base at Arrowhead.
So I saw Alex Gold with our sister station at 96.5 The Fan post this on Twitter earlier. He wrote, it's kind of amazing that the Chiefs hadn't already done stadium market studies. And I think most people just assumed that had been done.
Basically, they're bringing together focus groups to say, is this going to get it done or do we need to build something entirely new?
Well, and later on in the story, it says that the focus groups will be asked, you know, what amenities could we add to Arrowhead that would make it more appealing, blah, blah, blah.
Or should we just move
the stadium altogether? And if so, where?
Certainly asking the common man, the taxpayer, to renovate the stadium for whatever I don't remember what the price was to build amenities that they will never be able to afford was not the way to do it.
I'm telling you, I think the Truman Sports Complex will be a ghost town in 10 years.
Landfill.
Right that close to the highway? Well, Deffenbaugh's right next to 435.
It is.
I think time is running out.
Yeah.
It's surprising they are just now doing some sort of focus group on this when, wasn't it Manny that said a couple days ago they have until December to get it figured out?
Next month, if they're going to get it on the April ballot.
Yeah.
Because we are literally running out of time because you have to pass the money.
Yep.
Then you have to build or add on to the stadium.
Right.
Tear down the Royal Stadium, maybe.
The paperwork has to be finalized by sometime in early December to get it on the April ballot.
And then asked, it was a great interview that Jamie Monticelli did yesterday with him. She asked him, if that were to happen and you get it on the April ballot, do you think it's likely to pass now? And he, in more words than I'm about to say, said no. I don't think it would pass.
I mean, you better have a good plan. Again, their rollout was, here's all these amenities that you'll never be able to use. Please pay for them.
Now, I wonder, are they just going to get people in Kansas City on these focus groups?
You would have to. Because that's where if you don't, you are vastly underestimating the disdain people have for chipping in money for something like this.
Well, I understand that. But, I mean, do you get people from Overland Park involved? People from, you know, Platt City?
No, because if you're in Overland Park and you think they are asking you questions about staying in Kansas City proper, you're going to say no. Wouldn't you? Like, if you're in Overland Park, wouldn't you rather have it at 119th and all? Certainly if you're a property owner or a business owner over there.
Maybe, but, you know, if I like the sleepy kind of living that we have, you know, in Overland Park and not, you know, you have a lot of people in the city, but not a lot of people from outside the city come to Overland Park except to work or to dine. But now we're talking about on a Sunday afternoon, 80,000 people flooding down Knoll. If I live in that area, I'm not so sure.
From the text line, still no answer for the tax assessment.
Yep.
Blank.
Yeah. Great point.
All right. I love this from the New York Times. A high-ranking colleague at work died recently, they write. It was unexpected. She was in her 50s. Dozens of people in the organization, including the CEO, are heaping praise on her.
No, I know where this is
and
going.
Saying how badly she will be missed. We've all been asked to contribute to a sympathy gift for her family and to attend her funeral.
Uh-oh.
The problem? She was a dreadful colleague, an arrogant, narcissistic bully who belittled everyone in the organization, including me. Nobody wanted to work on her projects. I can't understand the outpouring of love for her now that she is gone. I refuse to be a part of it. Must I contribute to her memorial gift? Must I attend her funeral?
Ooh. Are they demanding that you attend the funeral?
It says we have been asked to contribute to a sympathy gift to her family. Now, the gift is to her family to make the family feel better.
Maybe they didn't like her either.
If you are that awful to work with, mm-hmm. do you know you are awful to work with?
No, especially if she's narcissistic.
Yeah.
They do not realize what they are to other people. They only think of themselves. And so the answer to that is no. If you are awful and narcissistic, you don't realize you're awful.
I'm curious, for whatever level of organization where you work, like from a mom and pop, which is going to be different. If you lose a colleague, that is, you know, sure. let's say there's 15 people that work there. That is felt. But if you work at Garmin, mm-hmm. you know, it's sad if you would lose someone like this says in their 50s. Oh, my gosh, that's shocking. That's so young. Like, what happened? They probably worked in a department over there. Like, you can be sad, but I don't think you'd all be expected to rally and attend the funeral and do the gift and all of those things.
Why can't the company, which has more money than its employees, I'm sure.
Yeah, send flowers.
Why can't they just send flowers? That would be all that would be expected.
Is it also because in death we feel some sort of obligation to look at the good and gloss a little bit over the bad? We see this with celebrities and politicians all the time.
Absolutely.
We're looking back at that biography and it's right. like, all right, however, .. Mm-hmm. Bring up that indictment? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Right. Or is that not the time to bring up the indictment?
Well, yes, but you know how it works in the media. We gloss over that real quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in the middle of the story.
Well, heck, look at all the people that are going to watch the Mike Tyson fight.
Yeah, and realize but ignore the fact that he was
a convicted
imprisoned
rapist.
For rape. Well, I mean, America is a land, for the most part, of second chances, but I've always found it fascinating who we give second chances to and who we do not.
Not to a colleague.
Maybe not. But back to the celebrities for just a moment. I find it fascinating. Mike Tyson has had a complete reversal in the way the public thinks about him. He's now an actor and he's a pitch man and he's still a boxer, apparently.
Still says a lot of really weird stuff, by the way, if you've been watching the hype stuff for this fight.
Yes, he does. But look at who we do not give second chances to. And here's one name that comes to mind. Matt Lauer. Has been...
Oh, he's just been wiped off the face of the map.
I mean, he's been completely canceled.
And is certainly not
term.
The only person in the last 10 years, mm-hmm. the only man in the last 10 years that met their downfall because of sexually inappropriate behavior in the workplace.
Correct. And yet, you never hear...
Charles, oh my gosh. The one that was naked in the bathroom around the interns with PBS. It was shocking. Charlie, why can't I think of his last name? Sorry. There were so many men during that time.
Yeah. The Me Too movement.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I was going to say since 2015, that's when they all came out.
Yeah. I mean, but like Chris Cuomo, who was not, he's a journalist for those of you who don't know, he was not part of the Me Too movement downfall for these people, but you know, he was hiding stories from his employer and coaching his brother who was the governor of New York. Behind the scenes without telling his employer. He's now on News Nation. Doing just fine, I'm sure.
Why can't I think of Charlie's last name? Oh, my gosh. That's how completely he's been wiped from the Rolodex of the news world.
I can see him in my mind.
Phenomenal interviewer, but apparently liked to...
Charlie Rose.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Liked to expose himself to producers.
Yes, he did. Apparently. Allegedly.
And then we might bring this one back tomorrow. In fact, I'm going to insist we bring it back tomorrow. Okay. Here's the next letter to the New York Times. My husband and I want to invite my cousin and his wife to a small Thanksgiving dinner at our house. But I feel obligated to include my brother and his family too. His teenage son is intolerable. Mm-hmm. His wife is a bump on a log. Mm-hmm. There are other children as well. So when they come, it's a big group. We have had them over many times before. Mm-hmm. They lack common courtesy. My brother tries to moderate their behavior to little effect. Still, he would be hurt not to be invited. Last year, we felt so bad about excluding them, we did not celebrate at home. Is it possible to not invite family without hurt feelings? I love this, and I think we should bring it back tomorrow.
Gladly. Here's somebody else that we've given a second chance to. Michael Vick.
To some extent, yeah.
Mm-hmm. 913-586-7798. When we get back, what a large portion of Gen Zers refuse to do at the office. We'll get to that in just
a moment. No, I don't. I let it fly.
There's a joke there somewhere.
Stop. Don't give it away. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. All right, here's this story. They are very, very witty. They're literally scared poopless. For a generation that likes expressing their emotions, Gen Z keeps a lot bottled up inside. A whopping 1 in 3 Zoomers is scared to use the bathroom at work, according to a recent study. They surveyed more than 1,000 employees on their workplace loo habits and calculated the impact of bathroom breaks on company productivity. They found that a surprising number of office workers are reluctant about going number 2 at their vocation station. In fact, 1 in 12 Zoomer employees have never pooped at work, while 34% say they're scared to, but will if they have to.
When did this start? Is there a word for the fear of pooping?
Sam, would you mind looking that up?
Sure. Now, work is one thing.
Not for you, it's not.
I'm okay with doing it at work.
Clearly.
But if I am in a public setting elsewhere, it better be an emergency.
It's called parkopresis or shy bowel syndrome.
Shy bowel syndrome.
Which is essentially a social anxiety related to the fear of using a public restroom due to potential judgment from others regarding whatever.
Don't forget coprophobia, which is the intense and persistent fear of defecation.
People with parkopresis are often extremely worried about being judged by others when they are in the restroom.
By the way, there is a gender gap here.
Oh.
Women, almost 50% of Gen Z women do not like or won't or are afraid to go to the bathroom, go number 2 at work. Only 19% of men are afraid to poop at work.
Okay.
And here's the reasons. An overwhelming majority say they fear a lack of privacy. A lesser amount are afraid they'll be embarrassed by the smell.
Okay, can I just tell you, there's a new health campaign about this, and it literally is, it's okay to poo at work. New health campaign highlights a common source of anxiety. This was from September of 2024. In recognition of the discomfort people may feel around that thing at work, the Queensland Department of Health recently launched a social media campaign. Sam, please find this, please.
That's in Australia.
I don't care. I want to hear the Australian voice talking about the fact that it is okay to do this. It's okay to poo at work. Mate.
We will revisit that tomorrow.
I'll leave this story with you, and we will bring it back tomorrow and find the Australian.
Will it be in hour 1 or hour 2?
Where do you think it's going to be?
I mean, please. It might not be the best story of the day, but it will be a solid number 2.
By the way, credit card debt in the United States has hit a record $1.17 trillion. $1.17 trillion. Bonus hours next. We got to run on behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III. My good friend and co-host Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. And God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.